interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Good morning and welcome in to the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there. I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I hope you're having a fantastic day. Wherever you are, wherever you may be listening, and whenever you may be listening, if you are listening via podcast, good to have you along. Thanks so much for being there. Thanks for being part of this little family and spreading the love by sharing the show with your friends. I appreciate that more than you can possibly know. It is the day after Monday. It's one of those ubiquitous filler days that gets no respect. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, for some reason, get a lot of attention. Tuesday and Thursday, they're just here for fill. Well, let's fill it with some stuff, okay? We have some things to talk about today. And hopefully I can get to everything. One of the things I've been dying to talk about for the last couple of days is, who is this guy Carlos Maza from Vox? Aside from being one of the people who just went on strike, I hope we have time to get to that day. Making no promises, the House Democrats are begging Trump to change his 4th of July plans. I don't know what they're afraid of. Maybe we can get to that today. More likely, we will get to other things, though. Things like why CEOs from 180 companies, including Twitter, have decided to join into a letter opposing state abortion laws. There's a reason. We'll get to that. And it's not what you think it is. It's not because of principle. Trust me. It's not because of, well, I guess if you use the word correctly, it could be. Democrats have blocked an order, blocked border wall funds again. A grandmother in Nevada is incensed about something that happened to her when she was traveling here recently. We will be looking at that very shortly. And the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop is being harassed again. And we will definitely be looking at that. But first up, once again, I'd like to thank you. Thank you so much for being part of the family here. I appreciate the fact that you're there, that you are that you're actively listening on a daily basis or as often as you possibly can. And like I said, I don't care where you're listening. If you are amongst the crowd on Facebook Live, thanks for being there. I appreciate you being there. If you are listening via podcast, thank you so much. If you have decided to snag the show at one of the various places it can be found, that's good. You can subscribe on iTunes, and which will be Apple Podcasts very soon. You can also get it on Google Podcasts. You can get it on Spotify and on SoundCloud. All four of those places, as well as going direct to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and just listening to the show there. There's every day when the show is uploaded, it's also uploaded to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. It's also uploaded to markandmacshow.com. I forgot about that. But so there are six different places you can listen to the show. And that list is getting a bit longer as time goes forward. So however you're listening, thanks. Really, really appreciate you being there. It means a lot to me. Now, moving forward, a couple of quick stories before we hit the first break of the show. And I've had somebody ask me the other day, why do you put breaks in the show? It's a podcast, for Pete's sake. People are used to listening to stuff without commercials on podcasts. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Congratulations. Golf applause to you. I appreciate that. And the point of having the breaks is that people are used to them. People have been conditioned for years, especially people who are in their mid-30s and older, adults. We're accustomed to hearing commercial breaks on the radio. And I'm an old radio guy. It just makes sense to have that structure there. Besides, the option is there, the opportunity is there for sponsorship. That's something that's probably going to come in the near future. So the breaks are there, just so you know. That's why. Well, Masterpiece Cake Shop is again under fire. We have the story coming from the Daily Wire. Now the subject of a third discrimination lawsuit alleging that owner Jack Phillips discriminated against a customer by refusing to make a cake for an unspecified event. Now Phillips, you know, won at the United States Supreme Court after suing a Colorado Human Rights Commission that punished him for refusing to provide a wedding cake for a same-sex wedding in Denver. a task Phillips said violated his religious conviction that true marriage is between one man and one woman. Phillips offered to sell the couple a pre-made cake or refer them to another baker, solutions that would have allowed Phillips to avoid material participation in the same-sex wedding. But the couple wasn't satisfied and leveled a complaint with Colorado authorities. Ultimately, in a decisive Supreme Court victory, Phillips won against the Colorado Human Rights Commission. But the victory hinged on the behavior of the commission itself, which SCOTUS found to be harassing and discriminatory. The Supreme Court refused to issue a verdict on whether the First Amendment's free exercise clause protects Christians from being forced to participate in same-sex weddings or any event or action that violates their right of conscience. But intent on punishing Phillips for his, quote, crimes, end quote, leftists have hit the baker twice with lawsuits alleging further discrimination. Once was the day of the Supreme Court verdict. That was tossed out. And again last week, this according to CBS's Denver affiliate. They report the latest lawsuit was filed Wednesday in Denver District Court on behalf of Autumn Scardina by attorneys Paula Greeson and John McHugh. Scardina is the same woman who filed the previous lawsuit, alleging discrimination after Masterpiece Cake Shop denied her request, made the day Phillips won his case for a cake celebrating her gender transition. Reports on this newest lawsuit are vague on the theme of the pastry in question. They have said so far only that Scardina requested a birthday cake. But previous filings indicate that Scardina has gone out of her way on several occasions to request cakes Masterpiece Cake Shop clearly will not make. I'm going to have to do a little bit of editing on the fly here. I just want you to know that. Just be aware. Newsweek reports that the baked goods at the center of Scardina's previous complaints to Colorado authorities include, get this, these requests included a cake to celebrate Satan's birthday. She knows the man is a Christian. She wants him, she has requested of him to bake a cake to celebrate Satan's birthday. I don't think we'd have to go any farther than that. There's more to the story, but that request alone demonstrates her intent. Her intent is to harass and terrorize this man. That's her intent. Her intent is to punish him for not conforming to her worldview. It's all about punishment. A cake to celebrate Satan's birthday with cheesecake frosting that would feature a large figure of Satan licking, I'll just say, an actual working sex toy that could be turned on before they unveiled the cake. Phillips said then that he believes Scardina regularly requests objectionable cakes from his bakery, including cakes with pentagrams and upside-down crosses. Once again, as I said, just more proof, more evidence that this is about harassment and punishing him for not seeing the world through her twisted eyes. Scardina's previous lawsuit, based on claims Phillips made during the original same-sex wedding cake litigation that he would make any cake for an LGBT customer except for a wedding cake, was dropped back in September of last year after Phillips agreed to drop his own discrimination case against the state of Colorado. That's according to Colorado Public Radio. But Scardina apparently felt no need to give up. Quote, a new lawsuit has been filed against Masterpiece Cake Shop that appears to largely rehash old claims. The state of Colorado abandoned similar ones just a few months ago. This latest attack by Autumn Scardina looks like yet another desperate attempt to harass cake artist Jack Phillips, and it stumbles over the one detail that matters most. Jack serves everyone. He just cannot express all messages through his custom cakes. And that is what Phillips' attorney said in a statement yesterday. This latest lawsuit bypasses the state of Colorado and requests a trial by jury instead. And you may be wondering, why is that? Well, the reason is that the state of Colorado has already had its hand slapped for being discriminatory and oppressive towards this person. A trial by jury is a trial by his peers. And lawyers will have to screen these people and pass each one into the jury. They will go through the jury pool, and Autumn Scardina's attorneys will look for people who are hardline, leftist, freakish, bizarre individuals who will look down their noses at Jack Phillips because he doesn't agree with their view of life. This is why. Her lawyers clearly indicated this was the direction to go. Because if they can find the right jury, if they can stack the jury just the right way, then they can punish this man for not conforming to Scardina's twisted worldview. Once again, make no mistake, what this is about is punishing someone. Punishing someone for not conforming. And that is all this is about. Now she can drag him into court again, and his lawyers, rightfully so, should appeal any outcome that goes against him, because it is transparent what her motives actually are. It's sick, it's twisted, it's wrong, and it's obvious. So if you're a praying person, pray for Jack and his legal team so that they are wise and know exactly what they need to do. And spread this around. Let your friends know this is happening, because this is transparently oppressive and abusive. Also, being oppressive and abusive is a good, it's one of the traits of a good government, don't you think? Well, there's a grandma from Las Vegas who thinks so. She's suing the Transportation and Safety Administration, the TSA. She's accusing agents of forcing her to expose her private parts last month during a strip search for the purpose of inspecting a feminine hygiene product she was using. The alleged incident occurred at Tulsa International Airport on Mother's Day after frequent flyer Rhonda Mengert, who holds a TSA pre-check designation under the agency's Trusted Traveler program, informed security that she has a metal implant in her hip and agreed to a pat-down after passing through a body scanner. According to the complaint, the screener discovered Mengert was wearing a common feminine hygiene product underneath her clothes and informed her that she would need to submit to an additional search in order for her to be cleared for travel. Mengert was escorted to a private room by two TSA agents who accompanied her and closed the door behind them. And once inside, the screeners reportedly instructed the traveler to pull down her pants and underwear down to her knees and remove the feminine hygiene product for their visual inspection. Despite initially objecting, Mengert complied. She told KTNV-TV of the incident, quote, "It was horrific. It was horrible. It was degrading." The Las Vegas resident told KLAS-TV, quote, "I was accosted. I had no personal ability to protect myself against them. They took it away. It's gone too far. It's overreach. It's too much." The lawsuit claims Mengert travels frequently for her job and continues to experience trauma over the incident. Mengert is seeking damages over what she says was a humiliating experience that violated her constitutional rights, and she doesn't want it to happen to anyone else. Mengert and her attorneys are seeking a jury trial. Of course, the TSA will not comment because there is pending litigation, but they did issue a statement insisting the agency does not conduct strip searches and is committed to ensuring the safety of travelers. So if the TSA does not conduct strip searches, what the heck happened here? What happened? Why was there a strip search? Was it because somebody took it upon themselves to do this? Someone who is incompetent and unqualified? Or did I just describe the entire TSA? Yeah, I think I probably just describe the entire TSA. Yeah. I know I've told you before, but airline pilots have said for years that those initials, TSA, actually stand for thousands standing around. I've also told you the story of my encounter with TSA not too long after they became active at the Birmingham International Airport in Alabama, not to be confused with England, where I had a Barney Fife stare me down and try to intimidate me. One can't help but wonder, what kind of qualifications do they actually have to have?
The great ones make it look easy.
Oh, yeah! Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Wow. Some days I just want to let the bumper music keep playing, you know? I can't, though. Facebook doesn't like that. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It looks like in our area, the rain has passed. Some other areas of the country, bless your hearts, you're still getting soaked. This is weather, and this is how it is this time of year. We're either roasting or we're drowning. That's just kind of how it is. It's funny, though, if you're a climate alarmist, then this is all a result of global warming. Even though we have more snow than we've had in a long, long time, and you know, the glaciers are rebuilding and the like. It just, this is all global warming. Yeah, it's weather, people. My goodness. Hey, have you signed up for the newsletter yet? The Daily Perspective newsletter is a publication that hits your inbox every day and contains the links to the stories that I talk about during the podcast. That way you can actually go read the stories for yourself and then jump off from there. And that's one, that's, I've talked about this before, but that's an important thing because the stories do contain links very often, which are to earlier versions of stories and other people's more complex and in-depth versions of stories, because there's only so much time. I mean, I have an hour. I've given myself an hour a day, and there have been times in the past I've used that entire hour for one story, but that's a rare thing. I like to be able to hit a lot of different things if I can. I like to keep a lot of pots on the stove, you know? So what I do is I try to find the most succinct versions of stories I can. And a lot of times those stories contain links to much more in-depth explorations of those stories. And that is one of the strong points of getting the newsletter, because that way you get access to lots of information I don't have time to deliver. So get signed up today. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. It's all one word, dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Well, except for the .com, there's a .. Never mind. But go there, look in the right-hand column, get signed up, answer yes to the confirmation email, and before long, you'll be getting the show notes in your inbox every day. Okay? All righty. Well, states across America are passing restrictive abortion laws. The people of these states, the majority of the people of these states, have elected officials to reflect their views, their worldview, their opinion, and their values. And as a result, these states are passing laws which restrict abortion. Because these people are honest with themselves and about life and the world around them, and they understand, being honest, upright people, that the decision about birth comes before what causes babies. That's a quality decision that is made before sex happens. And if you make a mistake, you own the mistake. That's what responsible people do. Irresponsible people look for a way out. Responsible people own up and take care of things themselves. They're responsible. It is not responsible to kill an innocent person because you didn't plan on that innocent person being part of your life. It is not responsible to kill an innocent person because you can't afford to take care of that person. there are lines of people waiting to adopt. That argument about, well, what about raising them in these horrible environments, like people in people who said about Alabama when they passed their abortion law, that, well, that's the last place you'd want to live anyway. Look at the rates of, you know, the illiteracy rate. Look at all of this going on there. You wouldn't want to raise a kid there. Oh, so you just kill them instead. Why not just wait till they're born and put a bullet through their heads? Isn't that simpler and cheaper? Yeah. No. People are lining up to adopt. People want to give these children loving, caring, nurturing homes. The decision comes before pregnancy. But CEOs from 180 companies have signed on to a full-page ad in the New York Times, which was released yesterday, claiming recent restrictive abortion laws passed in the states like Georgia, Alabama, and Missouri are, quote, bad for business. The list of CEOs includes Twitter's Jack Dorsey, though after his name he lists his other company, Square, the payment processor. You know, those little things you can plug into your phone to take credit cards. As well as the heads of Postmates, Slack, Yelp, H&M, and Tinder, as well as a handful of fashion designers, and, of course, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, or Jerry of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. The letter claims that it's time for companies to stand up for reproductive health care, and that restricting abortion is bad for business. Though the letter makes no real connection between the availability of abortion and the business climate of a particular state. Instead, they claim restricting reproductive freedom is against our values. States that threaten abortion, the CEOs say, threaten the health, independence, and economic stability of our employees and customers. Equality in the workplace, they go on to say, is one of the most important issues, business issues of our time. When everyone is empowered to succeed, our companies, our communities, and our economy are better for it. They continue, restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health, independence, and economic stability of our employees and customers. Simply put, it goes against our values and is bad for business. The ACLU and Planned Parenthood rounded up these CEOs for the ad and produced the content, but with apparently without regard for what any of the businesses helmed by their own signatories actually do or where they operate. For starters, the statement made that without abortion, businesses will find the health, independence, and economic stability of their employees threatened. Well, that seems to imply that work-life balance is outdated, and that the CEOs and their respective companies don't value the ideas of employees having a family. The only way restricting the practice of abortion ultimately affects these CEOs' bottom lines is if they have to pay out benefits for employees who choose to have their children rather than kill their children. It's convenient financially, but flies in the face of modern feminism's demand that companies be cognizant and respectful of their female employees' choices without regard for cost. In a statement accompanying the ad, the NARAL's president, Elise Hoag, applauded the CEOs for, quote, taking a stand on behalf of employees, end quote, but seemed to casually forget that employees have priorities other than the availability of a cruel, quote, health care, end quote, practice. Her statement reads, NARAL applauds the business leaders signing the Don't Ban Equality letter for taking a stand on behalf of their employees, customers, and communities, and affirming the mainstream view that women deserve to be able to make private, personal medical decisions without politicians interfering, her statement read. There's also the more practical consideration of business climate. Although states like Georgia are restricting abortion, they're also extending deep credits to corporations who relocate to their state, making Georgia appealing, despite its abortion laws. Certainly a handful of companies have said they're pulling out of Georgia over the law, but most companies made business decisions based on, well, business. If abortion were the sole factor by which a company determined where to locate, Twitter and Postmates would be eyeing Illinois, the state with the most permissive abortion laws in the country. But they aren't relocating because Illinois also has the most regressive taxation scheme. Several of these companies also seem to ignore that they do a large part of their business in countries where social control is much heavier than it is in the United States. Like China. States run by leftists are all for this imagery. This, by the way, this is all posturing. That's what it is. They're all about this. They're all about this. But they're unfriendly to business because they believe that businesses should be taxed heavily in order to pay for their programs. So these companies aren't relocating to the states that are friendly to abortion. They're relocating and building branches in states that are friendly to them tax-wise. So these 180 CEOs who signed off on this letter that appeared in the New York Times are all saying one thing, but they're actually doing something else. They're saying they're for a certain set of values and principles, but their actions are telling us a completely different story. The reason they're attracted to these states is because of their tax breaks. Money speaks louder than words. They want to save the money, so that's why they do business in these states. So, when you see these people posturing, and they are posturing, just remember, they're being disingenuous. Because what's more important to them is the bottom line. It's not about women's, quote, health care, when 50% of the people getting that health care actually are dying.
Yes, it came from outer space to fill the world with terror.
What a maroon! What an ignoramus!
I think I resemble that remark. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along. We were talking about the ad in the New York Times taken out by pro-abortion organizations and signed onto by 180 CEOs. I just encourage you to probably go find a copy of that ad and take note of those CEOs just so you're aware of where these people's heads are. Because in many, many cases, what these people are signing on to is an idea that appeals to their desire to latch onto a cause. And this is something I've talked about before when it comes to celebrities. Many times they really don't have a dog in the race, a dog in the hunt, a horse in the race. Choose your metaphor. They don't have anything in, they really don't have a stake in it. It just looks good for them to be involved because they have been told that that's a cause that's worth fighting for. And there are claims that are being made that just aren't true. Because approval for abortion is going down. Approval for abortion is becoming more and more unpopular. Because more and more people are waking up. They're waking up and smelling the science, so to speak. Medical science has claimed for years and years that life begins at conception, but now they can prove it. And they believe they can prove that certain things are happening at certain stages. And denying that what's developing is a human being, a person, denying that is denial of reality. And choosing to follow through with abortion requires a great deal of denial of reality because you have to deny that you are killing a person. And we've heard the stories again and again and again of women who light a candle on that day every year, who find some way to commemorate that year. They wear black on that day every year. They go to a certain place. They have dinner or a meal of some kind at a certain place every year. They commemorate that day. And this is something you don't see reported much, but it happens a lot. And you don't see it reported because it goes against the grain of the narrative. And the narrative is that it's healthcare. Well, it's not very healthy for the person being murdered. It just isn't. But businesses jump on board because they believe this is a noble cause. Well, murder is never a noble cause. There's a hotel owner in Yale, Michigan, who is opening her doors free of cost to women seeking an abortion in the state. This is according to the Detroit Free Press. The owner of Yale Hotel, Shelley O'Brien, was moved to support her sisters seeking an abortion and issued a notice of help on Facebook. On the social media platform, O'Brien wrote, quote, "Dear sisters that live in Alabama, Ohio, Georgia, Arkansas, Missouri, or any of the other states that follow similar laws restricting abortion, we will support you with several nights lodging and transportation to and from your appointment." Her post continued, "Such niceties will be free of cost," she added. O'Brien, a 55-year-old mother of three children, grandmother of seven kids, compared her offer to the Underground Railroad. She insisted, "This is important. This is my line. There is no coming back from this. You start taking away the right for women to control their own bodies, and we're done for as a civilization. I can't stop this. I can't stop what's happening. But I have the resources to maybe help someone in that position, and especially knowing that women are coming from other states already. My offer extends to anybody that needs help anywhere. It extends to any woman that needs an abortion, and this could alleviate the barriers. I have three granddaughters, two great nieces, and a lot of other women that I care about, and I don't want any of them to die in back alley abortions. And I don't want any of them to ever have to proceed with a pregnancy if they don't want to." People aren't perfect, and people shouldn't have to die for their mistakes. But apparently she has no qualms about someone dying. Well, Yale is a conservative town where President Donald Trump won almost 65% of the vote in the 2016 presidential election. And O'Brien said she's received a lot of attention over her offer. It was mostly positive. She says, I've had one person call to say that he thought it was wrong. He didn't have Facebook, but he heard about it, and he wanted to let me know he thought what we are doing is wrong, and I've been called a baby killer, and it's like, no, I'm not killing babies in the basement. I'm just giving someone a place to stay or maybe a ride. And despite naysayers, O'Brien reveals that nobody has actually personally confronted her over her move or protested her hotel in response to the offer. The only way this is going to change, she says, is if people are willing to risk something. The reason lawmakers get away with stuff like this is because nobody wants to make waves. Nobody wants to give anything up for it. Actually, the reason lawmakers do this stuff is because the majority of their constituency says, we want this done. We're with you. We've got to end the Holocaust. She goes on to say that some women were even moved to offer up similar services, such as transportation to abortion appointments. She said her bookings have increased in the days following the announcement. And if somebody did write her a note of thanks, but nobody has taken advantage of her offer. Nobody is taking advantage of her offer. I want to go back to something she said. She said, you start taking away the right for women to control their own bodies, and we're done for as a civilization. This is a very popular viewpoint, an angle, from the pro-abortion crowd. How dare you propose to control what a woman does with her own body? Well, there are lots and lots of examples of where we control what you do with your body. If you put illegal drugs in it, there are laws against that. If you sell it sexually for profit, in most states, there are laws about that. There are many laws about what you can do and what you can't do with your body. But I'd like to remind you that this is not so much about your body as it is about the developing body of the person that is growing within you. That's what this is about. And I would suggest that there has been a line drawn. When that person came into being, you lost the argument. You now have a responsibility. And I would also remind you that your body is designed to do what it's doing, to produce children. And you can make any choice you want to with it, within legal bounds. But when you choose to do something that affects the life of the person within you, you're walking on very, very thin ice. And that's pretty much all I can say about that. Moving on to a different story. We knew in the last week that President Trump had allocated funds, military funds, to do work on the border wall. That is within his purview. He can do that if he so chooses. He can. It's part of his area of responsibility and influence. He can do this if he so chooses. Well, there are members of the House Armed Services Committee, and remember, the House is controlled by leftist Democrats who are doing anything and everything they can to prevent President Trump from succeeding at anything. They're failing miserably on most fronts, but from time to time they have brief victories. But House Armed Services Committee members are barring the White House from funneling any Defense Department dollars toward a construction of a border wall between the United States and Mexico. Committee members are issuing a blanket prohibition on border wall spending from the service's military construction accounts and all department-wide Pentagon coffers, according to legislative language in the committee's draft version of the military's budget blueprint for fiscal year 2020. House lawyers also included a measure that blocks the Trump administration from moving defense dollars dedicated to counter-narcotics operations to any border wall effort. The border initiatives are part of the $724 billion Pentagon budget plan proposed by House defense lawmakers and released late Sunday night. The House version of the spending plan sets a baseline budget of $655.9 billion for the Defense Department, along with an additional $69 billion to finance ongoing combat operations in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and elsewhere as part of the overseas contingency operations or wartime funding accounts. The House proposal, submitted by Washington Democrat and Committee Chairman Representative Adam Smith, is $6 billion more than the White House's total $718 billion budget request for defense and national security in the coming fiscal year, sent to Capitol Hill in February. Administration officials have proposed pulling funds from the Pentagon's wartime accounts to pay for border security efforts, including constructing a new wall. Mr. Smith has been one of the most vocal opponents of the effort to siphon off defense dollars for the wall. The language included in the House budget bill will prevent such diversions and ensure that there is sufficient oversight over deployment of our service members currently serving along the U.S.-Mexico border. Well, I think we've seen evidence that the border wall is a national defense issue, because we're watching criminals and criminal organizations coming through the border to commit crime and other things here in the United States. The Democrats don't care about your safety or this country. They just want a victory.
Okay, now go. 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 Go.
I think we're ready to go. That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Wow, is that ever the truth? I was talking about the border. And the mental image comes to mind of something I saw in the last 12 hours, really. It's a video, a blurry video, of a coyote escorting a group of illegals across the border, and tucked into the waistband of his pants is a firearm. He's armed and crossing the U.S. border. Armed, crossing illegally onto U.S. soil, armed. Now, let's just say you're in Southern California and you want to go to Tijuana. Do you think you could just walk across the border with a gun tucked into your waistband? Absolutely not. You couldn't do that. But this guy is crossing the border with a gun, escorting people coming here to break the laws of multiple nations by entering our nation illegally, crossing the border illegally. At least two nations have had their laws broken at that point, and this man is armed while doing it. And yet, the Democrats see nothing wrong with this whatsoever. No, no, no. There's no crisis at the border. Well, White House advisor Kellyanne Conway has an opinion. Of course she does. She slammed Democrats for doing less than Mexico to address the immigration crisis during an interview yesterday with Fox and Friends. President Donald Trump came to an agreement with the Mexican government on Friday and put an end to the threats of tariffs. Conway claimed that this deal was a step in the right direction to address the flow of illegal crossings at the border. She says, they really hammered out a great agreement with Mexico, and there are new features to this because look at the last week in May. We had apprehensions of 5,800 people or crossings of 5,800 people in one day at the border. And if that happened every single day, you'd be close to 2 million illegals coming this way in just a year alone. She pointed out that the deal is extremely important for both countries and that the Mexican government seemed more willing to work with Trump than Democratic lawmakers. Quote, so Mexico took the president's tariff threat very seriously, and they're starting to take enforcement at their southern border seriously. This is important to both countries, and we now have Mexico doing more than the Democrats who worked behind me on Capitol Hill on securing our southern border. And she was standing in front of the Capitol. You could see it in the background over her shoulder. Conway brought up the suggestion that immigrants can stay in Mexico while their asylum claims are being processed, saying that's one way to help fix the system. Quote, that's very enticing to many people who say that. Well, if you're leaving your home countries because you're claiming asylum, you're making a fear claim, then stay in Mexico where Mexico has agreed in the past to provide safe passage and economic opportunity, and to meet the needs of the individuals who are there waiting for their asylum claims to be processed. So why not just stay there? Citing past issues with immigration, she ended her comments by saying that the Mexican response has been more urgent than in past negotiations. Quote, there's something very different in the way Mexicans have responded to this latest negotiation and agreement that feels and looks differently than in the past. Now, there were many who raised their hands, who threw their hands in the air and clutch their pearls and gasp, tariffs? He's destroying our relationship with Mexico. He's, you know, tariffs, it's going to cost people more. Tariffs, it's just horrible. These, you know what a tariff is? It's a tax on the American people because they have to pay more for things because of these tariffs. They refuse to admit that the threat of tariffs is a negotiation tactic. The threat of tariffs is just saying, well, if you don't come to the table and talk to us about these things, then we are going to be forced to fine you. Every time you ship something to our country, it's going to cost you more. And eventually that level rises to the point where they begin to pay attention because it becomes too expensive for them to ignore. And then they come to the table and want to talk, which is what happened with Mexico. As an interesting side note, at least I think it's interesting, leftists have no problems, no problems at all taxing the hoo-how out of businesses, out of corporations. They have no problems at all raising the taxes on the businesses that make the products that you and I use in this country, when the result is that those businesses will pass that tax debt along to you by raising their prices. When the Democrats tax a business for doing what it does, that business recoups that cost by raising their prices for their products and services to you. But the same people wailing and moaning and clutching their pearls and weeping and gnashing their teeth over threats of tariffs in order to secure our southern border have no problem with you paying more for a hamburger or you paying more for a gallon of gas or you paying more for your cell phone because it's important for them to soak the rich to fund their programs. You see, the leftists see benefit coming from taxation, so they don't care if it costs you more. Just keep that in mind. The next time you see somebody wailing and moaning about tariffs, they don't have a problem with taxing businesses to the point where they have to raise their prices for their goods and services to you. But they will wail and moan about tariffs to secure the border of our country. This is all political theater. Keep remembering that. It's just political theater. And in a lot of cases, it's theater of the absurd. And that's something we need to remember. That's why I talk about absurdity when I talk about doing this hour of insight, observation, insight, and absurdity. Because politicians do the absurd daily, and people don't even bat an eye. They don't even think twice about it. They just shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's the way politics works. No, it really isn't. Not in a sane world. In a sane world, no, no. In a sane world, there are ways to get things done that produce results. But in the political world, there are no results. Well, okay, that's not true. There are results, but it's never what they tell you it's going to be. When government steps in to be the hero, to solve a problem, the result usually is that the problem gets worse. They propose a solution, and their solution has to have a solution a few years down the road because of the incompetence of the people proposing the solution. You've got to remember that these people who say they're coming to the rescue are people who have never had a day of experience working in the real world. They chose a career in politics in college, possibly in high school, and that has been their goal for their entire lives, is to work in government. They have no idea what it means to have to meet a payroll week by week. They have no idea what it means to make sure that their employees' health care is taken care of. They have no idea what it means to balance business and family and to make sure both are growing, to preserve the integrity and the health care and the well-being of their family while at the same time doing the same thing for their employees to make sure that their families are all right, that they're fed, they're clothed, providing their employees opportunities to grow. These same people who would tax the snot out of a business because, oh, look, they've got billions, they can afford it, don't even think twice about what really is happening because they do that. Yes, they have to charge more for a burger or a gallon of gas or something like that. But at the same time, they have to make really uncomfortable decisions about how many people they can employ. And if they have to lay anybody off, then they have harmed someone. And the business doing that has to suffer through that. Because it hurts, especially small business, which is the backbone of business in America. The people who are playing hero are playing with human lives. But that doesn't matter to them as long as they win. Time to go. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.